Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Eco Radio KC. On tonight's program, Eco Elvis joins us live in the KKFI studio. Also, Jesse Blakeborough and Kenneth Lee talk about the March for Science coming up on Earth Day, both here and in Washington, D.C. But first, I'm Natural Lee with your headline news. WashingtonPost.com reports, earlier this month, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan signed a bill to ban the hydraulic fracturing drilling process known as fracking in Maryland, the first state where a legislature has voted to bar the practice that actually has natural gas reserves. The Republican governor signed the measure into law about a week after the bill was passed by the Democrat-controlled legislature. Fracking for oil and gas isn't being conducted in Maryland now, but a moratorium was set to end in October, which is when the ban technically takes effect. Supporters of the ban said it was the first in the nation approved by a legislature in a state that has natural gas underground. Neighboring West Virginia and Pennsylvania both allow fracking. EurekaAlert.org reports, what is the volume of water in lakes on Earth? Using a mathematical analysis, new research suggests that the mean depth of lakes is 30% lower than previously estimated. Shallower lakes implies less fresh water and has consequences for our understanding of climate change and the carbon cycle. The quality and quantity of lake water can rapidly change due to human activities. For example, in some regions, many ponds and reservoirs have been built for ornamental purposes, for irrigation, to generate electricity, or to store drinking water, which increases the volume of fresh water. On the other hand, some large lakes have dried up and disappeared, like the Aral Sea, once the fourth largest lake on Earth, where climate change and water diversions for agriculture have left only a tiny fraction of its former surface. It is not only quantity that is of great concern at the moment. The water quality of the largest lakes on Earth are subject to degradation due to human activities. For example, Lake Erie in the United States and Canada, with a surface area of about 25,667 kilometers squared, has been exposed to nutrient pollution and harmful algae blooms. This has rendered the lake an unreliable source for drinking water for communities along the shoreline, and as a consequence, over 400,000 people even lost access to drinking water due to neurotoxins in the lake water associated with the algae bloom in 2014. E360.yale.edu reports, the quest for ice-free roads in winter is having a major impact on North American lakes. Some 44% of freshwater lakes in the U.S. Midwest and Northeast are becoming saltier, threatening drinking water, fisheries, recreation, irrigation, and critical aquatic habitats, scientists reported this week. The new study published last Monday in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences attributed the, quote, long-term salinization, end quote, of these lakes to the increasing use of road salt after snow and ice storms. Each year, transportation departments spread 23 million metric tons of sodium chloride-based de-icer on U.S. and Canadian highways and streets. The scientists found that if just 1% of the area around a lake was comprised of roadways or other impervious surfaces where salt might be applied, the water was extremely likely to have high levels of salt. That's all I have for the news for this Eco Radio KC. So now we're going to get right into Eco Elvis. How you doing, Elvis?
How you doing, baby?
Oh, I'm great. Now that you're here, you look splendid.
Oh, thank you very much.
I noticed that your suit isn't white. It's green.
Well, of course it's green, baby. Because it's got to be green. Because right. The environment, it's all about eco, green, environment, eco-friendly, earth-friendly.
I'm keeping it real, 100.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Eco Elvis, where should we begin?
Well, why don't we kick the season off as we should, since it's Earth Day month, as right. We like to call it, with a little Earth Day rock.
All right. Sounds great.
Well, the Earth needs your help, baby, can't you see? Cause we really screwed up the land, air, and sea. Up and take a tip from old Greenie. Come on and do the Earth Day rock with me. Well, let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody's got to do more than talk. Let's start dancing to the Earth Day rock. Well, you thought just recycling would be enough. Well, don't fool yourself, I'm calling you bluff. Well, wake up and take a good look at your life. Start by changing what you eat, you use and buy. Well, let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody's got to do more than talk. Let's start dancing to the Earth Day rock. Well, the Earth gives us everything we need to live. A beauty, food, and clothing, and a place to lay our head. How much your health, friends, and family worth? Put your your money where your mouth is and take care of the other. That's all right. Everybody's got a new moon talk. Let's not dance to the earth they rock. Let's clean it up, baby, clean it up. Can't see. We better change our ways, baby, just in case, cause the planet can't support a careless human race. Well, that's alright. Everybody's got to do more than talk. As I dance to the earth and cry, well, well, the earth needs your help, baby, can't you see? Cause we really screwed up the land, air, and seas. Well, listen up and take a tip from old Greeny. Come on through the earth, they rock with me. Well, that's alright.
All right, sound great, Eco Elvis.
Thank you very much.
So you got your own album and everything.
I got two albums, actually.
Oh,
yes, I do.
You got two albums. You're edutaining people about how to save money, improve their health, and take care of all of our home, the planet Earth.
That's right, babies.
All right. So tell me about writing that song. What did you make sure that you included?
Well, that song is obviously a takeoff of Jailhouse Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But we needed an Earth Day theme song that was fun and upbeat. So Earth Day Rock. It's kind of a general, you know, like big 30,000 foot view.
Right.
Some of my songs will get very specific, but this one's a very 30,000 foot view kind of song to sing. In general, how do we need to think about the earth and how do we need to act toward it?
Mm-hmm. All right, Eco Elvis. So let's hear about, can we play another song, Mike? Let's play A Lot Less Conversation.
Sounds good.
We need a lot less conversation, a lot more action. This ignorance and apathy ain't getting it. If we care about our kids, then we gotta take action. We gotta get beyond a small-minded distraction, cause it's mindless disregard. Won't rectify now, baby. Gotta see the plan now, baby. We're all connected to the earth, it's a life support, and there are no emergency exits. We're not the masters here, we're just the stewards here. So get off your duff and start saving your home. Well, a lot less conversation, a lot more action. This a verbal repetition and actuating it, baby. We need a lot more fight, a lot more bark, a lot more fight, a lot more spark. If you want to amend, you might have to offend to rectify, baby. Gotta see the plan now, baby. Come on, baby, let's stop talking. We gotta take action and stop balking. We all need clean air. We all need clean water. We all need healthy food. Don't deliberate, don't ruminate, don't capitulate, don't vegetate, cause it's time for a lot less conversation, a lot more action, please. It's the most important cause of the 21st century. We gotta set aside a rich genuine creed. People join hands and come and sing with me. Open up your heart, you gotta do your part to rectify, baby. Gotta save a plan now, baby. Well, come on, baby, stop this mindless chatter. But to focus on something that really matters. Our climate is a change. Humanity's to blame. We gotta change our ways. These are all truths that science has proven, and the truth is saying we gotta get moving and grooving, baby. For a lot less conversation, a lot more action, please. It's the most important cause of the 21st century. We gotta set aside race, gender, and creed. People join hands and come and sing with me. Open up your heart, you gotta do your part to rectify now, baby. Gotta save the planet now, baby. Well, come on, baby, gotta rectify. Come on, baby, gotta save the planet. Come on, baby, gotta rectify. Come on, baby, gotta save the planet. Come on, get to it. Save your home.
Eco Elvis, excellent.
Thank you very much.
I hope we get to hear something live. I love the recordings that we got here in studio. You gonna do one?
Oh yeah, I'd love to do one.
Okay, cool.
I'd love to do one.
Well, I really enjoy that song because it is true. You know, we got to take action on the things that we say we got to do.
That's
so
right.
I'm sure Eco Elvis is happy to know about a lot of the events that we've been having locally, nationally, all over.
That's right. Yeah, they're going like 24/7 right now. Earth Day events.
Wow.
Yeah. Somewhere in the world during this month, there are literally something going on 24/7 for the Earth. We just need to do that 365 instead of just this one month.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, we commend everybody the work in April.
That's right.
We love it.
Right.
Let's spread it out. Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? Instead of spreading fertilizers.
Exactly. Right? Which is what the song I'm going to do is about, actually.
What? What a segue.
I know. That's an awesome segue.
I didn't even plan that.
You're the mistress of segue. Okay. No, actually... I look out my window at my home, and I see people out caring for their lawn in basically the same way they've been doing since the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And I think, am I in a time warp, baby, or what? Mm. I see people mowing with their gas mowers, weeding and feeding with all the synthetic pesticides and fertilizers, watering the lawn, even in the rain.
What?
Even when it's raining, the sprinklers are on. I think, what's wrong with this picture?
Oh, man.
So it's time for us to do something different because this is not good for the environment. It causes noise pollution, air pollution, water pollution, wastewater. It's terrible. So we really need to think differently about our lawns.
Mm-hmm.
There's some great ways to do that. On the more conservative side, you can just do green lawn practice. You can still have a lawn, but you can use like natural fertilizers, organic fertilizers. You can use compost.
Yep.
You can use manual tools. Mm-hmm. Like I said, using a leaf blower, use a broom. That's what you used to have to use was a broom. God forbid you get some exercise. Or you can do gardens, not lawns, of course.
Right.
Take your whole lawn, get rid of it, put gardens in. Plant fruit, vegetables.
There's many options.
Right. Right. So this song is called God Is Airscape. Because airscaping is using earth-friendly practices to rethink your lawn.
Right.
To save water and to use native plants. Mm. So I'm going to do that song right now.
Please do.
All right, here we go. A lawn care truck came by today. It was spraying everything inside, killing off nature left and right for the planet's sake. We got a Zair Escape. A perfect lawn is a big mistake. It pollutes the water with pesticides. It wastes a lot more water than you realize for the planet's sake. We got a Zair Escape. Xeriscape means growing plants that are native. They need a lot less water and very little care. They give the wildlife a source of food and a place of living. They can even keep our houses cool in the summertime. Oh yeah. We use gas-powered tools to maintain the yard, but they pollute the air and waste energy. The noise they make disturbs the peace of all the planet's sake. Got a Xeriscape. A Xeriscape means growing plants that are native. We need a lot less water and very little care. We give a wildlife a source of food and a place of living. We can even keep our house cool in the summertime. A Xeriscape makes less yard waste. A compost cuts it all down to size. Don't bag the grass, it will fertilize. For the planet's sake, got a Xeriscape. Oh, oh yeah, for the planet's sake. We got a Xeriscape. Oh, oh yeah, for the planet's sake. Got a Xeriscape. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Eco Elvis, can we just take a little moment to talk about some of the pollutants in a little more detail since we
sure.
have the fabulous song?
Sure.
Like, so you're talking about you can use organic fertilizers, right? Mm-hmm. Well, before we even put any more fertilizer down on our lawns, we can even get that soil tested to see if it needs it.
That's actually one of the first things you should do is get your soil tested. Because a lot of times, especially in the more suburban areas, but especially throughout our whole area, our soil is very clay-like. if you dig down in your yard, you'll probably find clay like almost immediately. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that's because when they built the houses, they turned all the soil over, mm-hmm. put all that bad subsoil up on the top, and then they just threw grass down on top of that. Mm-hmm. And so there's really not healthy soil. It's just clay and sod.
Right.
So, yeah, so you got to get your soil tested, and that can kind of let you know what nutrients are there, which ones are missing. And then mm-hmm. you can add them organically instead of synthetically.
All right.
Yeah.
And then when we put too much fertilizer on our lawn, it and then we water and it runs into our storm drains, right?
Then you got water problems. That's Uh-oh. Right. Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to cover about the lawns? I mean, there's so yeah. much we could go into. I'm sorry.
There really are. There really are. No, I mean, it's a matter of rethinking your lawn. I mean, to me, I'm walking down the street and I think this is so boring looking. It looks yeah. like a golf course.
Yeah.
And not only does it look like a golf course, but there's nobody out on them. There's right. nobody even using their
yards.
Well,
that's because if you lay on the yard that has the chemicals on right. it, you're going to get a rash.
Right, exactly. You're going to get a chemical rash. So that's wise that they're not out on their lawn. Maybe they know that.
Oh, I'm laughing. It's not funny.
It is especially, like when you think about it, kids and animals are out on their lawn all the time. Mm-hmm. And I see in my neighborhood kids and animals out playing in the lawn that, you know, just yesterday they were out weeding and feeding or and the Kemlon guy was out spraying. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Those are our kids and our pets.
I just think we got a disconnect in between, mm-hmm. you know, what we're doing and what
right.
we want, right?
That's right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so. But that's all right. Eco Elvis is saving the world here with his music and his fabulous green shimmery suit and that hair.
The hair.
I'm telling you, it's the hair.
The hair is a very important component of my life. The bigger the better.
So is that organic, that hair?
It's recycled in that it is recycled prehistoric life.
Okay.
In other words, it's fossil fuel based.
Oh.
But, you know, I've tried to go like organic, like all cotton, all natural, and the stuff just kind of melts.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm always, you know, Elvis, I'm always sweating.
Right.
It just doesn't hold up. Mm-hmm. So I got to use the synthetics to hold up. But okay. I use them for years and years. It's not
yeah.
like I just wear it and throw it away.
Yeah. No, I see that you right. have all these upcoming show dates.
Yes, I do.
So you get lots of use out of your wigs.
I do. Yes.
All right. Well, let's talk about what you think are the most important actions.
Well, I think probably when you're thinking globally, the thing that's in the news is, of course, is climate change. That's mm-hmm. the big one. And to fight that, we know, or we hopefully most of us know, we need to stop using fossil fuels in all their formats, oil, coal, and natural gas,
mm-hmm.
because they all contribute lots of carbon dioxide.
Right.
And so, but several years ago, I was asked to do a presentation at a conference where they said, just do something on going green. And I was like, okay. And I was thinking about, well, what am I going to talk about? And I was like, well, I know it's more than just recycling a can.
Right.
And I know it's more than just using a reusable bag or replacing my light bulb. So I really dug into it and thought, okay, well, what would it really mean if someone were to go green? So over the last few years, I've been kind of mulling that idea and trying to put it down on paper. And so what I came up with is the Green 16.
All right.
So you've heard of the Sweet 16, the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Green 16. So okay. these are the 16 areas that we all need to take action on at some point. Now, I realize 16 areas, that's a lot.
Right.
So I'm breaking it down into little chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Little chunks. So the areas, I'll go through them very quickly.
Sure.
Animals, energy, food, health, indoors, leaders, light pollution, money, noise pollution, peace and justice, population, poverty, soil, trees, waste reduction, recycling, and of course, water.
All right.
Those are all important areas.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to do is I'm updating my website, and I'm doing a new series, Eco Elvis, is called Because You Care
mm-hmm.
Action Sheets,
mm-hmm.
which you'll be able to pick up at my shows. So it'll just give you a handful of things you can do and think about
right.
at a time. Because we all really need to do a lot more than just recycling a can or, you know, using a reusable bag. Those are important, but we
right.
got a lot more to do if we're going to really improve the health of our environment.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So number one. I know what number one is.
Number one what?
The action. Number one action.
The stop using fossil fuels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you got a song about that?
I got a song about energy.
Okay.
Because really, when it comes down to energy, you know, fossil fuels, using fossil fuels is the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is actually Take Off on the Beach Boys.
Let's do it.
That's right. It's called Conserve and Safari. There we go. Let's start conserving now. We need to turn our burning down. We must conserve our energy.
Well, if you care about your kids and you want to save some money and see your property value rise, if you want to strengthen national security and see your comfort level hit new highs, you got to educate yourself at the DOE, then perform an audit of your energy. A change for wasteful habits, that's the key. Buy services and products that run efficiently. Let's start conserving now. We need to turn our burning down. We must conserve our energy. Insulate your home and seal air leaks. Design and remodel the green. Update electronics and appliances to use renewable energy. You gotta modify your water heating. Convert your night and day lighting. You gotta redesign your landscaping. Renovate your cooling and space heating. Renovate your doors, renovate your windows too. Your lighting costs will be reduced. Your heating and cooling costs will go down too. Well, you say this is all gonna cost too much. You just can't afford it right now. But there's financial assistance available to you for what you buy and what you improve. Well, you can apply for tax credits for special home financing. You can submit well, Energy Star products give rebates to weatherize your home with the help from the state. Let's start conserving now. We need to turn our burning down. We must conserve our energy. Let's go on a conserving safari, conserving safari, conserving safari. Well, let's start conserving now. We need to turn our burning down. We must conserve our energy. Let's go on a conserving safari.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
This is awesome. All right, so you got an upcoming album that you're working on.
I am. I decided that I really needed to target something to the kids.
Right.
My shows are pretty family friendly.
Yeah.
But some of the words are a little too, you know, big for mm-hmm. kids, little kids to understand. So I thought, well, what would be a good approach? So I decided to write songs geared specifically towards kids that they could understand and sing along to and that kind of thing. And I decided to kind of take a different tack, not just talk about the environment, but also talk about the importance of how we got to take care of each other, too.
That's right.
Because it's all, to me, there's no separation between environmental issues and social justice issues and how we treat each other. So, you know, it's like poverty, population issues, peace and justice. All those issues are just as important as environmental.
Right.
So I'm trying to take it from a kid's perspective and how to make them think more about, you know, we got to treat each other well.
Mm-hmm.
We got to treat the planet better, too. So.
Right. All right, I like the sound of that. How many songs you got done so far?
It'll be about a 12 or 13 song album.
All right.
Yeah. So, going into the studio right after the Earth Day season to get that thing started.
Yeah, cuz this is a busy one for you.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, so you mentioned the website earlier, but you didn't tell them what the website is.
My website is ecoelvis.com.
Oh, that's easy.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. ecoelvis.com.
And we just posted a link to that on our Eco Radio Facebook page. Yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
Thanks,
thank
Mike.
You.
Okay, so speaking of that busy Earth Day season, you've got a show coming up at Whole Foods in Olathe.
Yeah, this Thursday night I'm going to be playing their dinner hour show that are 6 to 7 p.m.
All right.
At their Olathe location.
Oh, you're busy that whole weekend because then you're playing again Friday.
Yep.
At the Overland Park downtown.
Yeah, downtown Overland Park. They have a third Fridays, not the first Fridays, the third Fridays.
Uh-huh.
And they're having a special Earth Day celebration. So I'll be down there this Friday, 6 to 7. Then Saturday, Earth Day itself, I'll be at Brookside Farmers Market in the morning and might be heading down to the Science March after that.
All right.
And then Saturday, the April 29th, is a special show. That's at City Market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be me with my full backup band, The Extraordinaires.
Okay.
So it'll be an even bigger, crazy party then.
Wow. The whole band.
That's right.
That's what's up. Okay, well, we'll put all these show dates on our Eco Radio Facebook page again, too. So if you want to go check out Eco Elvis, bring the kids, bring the family. That's really awesome. All right, Mike, is there anything? Do you have a question for Eco Elvis? We're in the presence of greatness here. So.
I do. I noticed I'm looking at the album. So you have two albums out. One's called Burning Globe,
mm-hmm.
Hunk of Burning Globe.
Well, yeah, right? That's implied.
Right. Rockin' for a Green World mm-hmm. is the other album.
Mm-hmm.
And so on this Burning Globe one, I see in here you all the people you thank. You thank Tord Elvis. Mm-hmm. And so Tord Elvis was with Dred Zeppelin, right?
Right. Right, right. Right.
And so is that what turned you down the Elvis path?
Well, actually, I liked Elvis before I ever knew about Dred Zeppelin. And then once I found out about Dred Zeppelin, it was like, oh, my God, that's so perfect. Mm-hmm. It was just hilarious.
It was incredible.
Absolutely hilarious. And the funny thing about them is they were great musicians, but Tord Elvis is a great singer.
Right,
so they combine
right.
all that great musicianship with a classic satirical take on Led Zeppelin and mix it with Elvis. It was perfect.
It was. It was. So some really good stuff.
That's right, man.
So that was my big question. And so this season for you is like Santa and Christmas
right.
time or
yeah,
Cupid.
I might as well not even try to sleep because I'm busy all the time.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, that's great. We sure appreciate you coming in. And,
yeah, I'm glad. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, ecoelvis.com is the website, and you also are on Facebook as
yep.
well.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Kansas City's own.
That's right, baby. Homegrown.
Are there any other Eco Elvises?
Any other Eco Elvises?
Yeah.
Years ago, I heard of a guy in Chicago who called himself Green Elvis.
Oh,
I don't know if he's still around. But
not the same.
Not the same, no.
Eco Elvis got a nice ring to it.
That's right.
Eco Elvis has an answer. Yeah,
there's a lot of people that call me Echo Elvis.
Well, there's a lot of people that call us Echo Radio. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if we were Echo Radio or if we were Eco Elvis, we would be speaking like this, like all the time, and it would be very irritating to be echoing all the time. So therefore, you get the picture.
There'd be an H in there.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
There's no H in Eco.
There's
so,
man, but that's okay.
That's all right.
That's all right.
It's an honest mistake.
Que sera, sera.
Yeah, whatever we'll be, Bebis.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, man.
Tonight. And
so
good
much.
Luck. You're going to need some rest because
that's
you're
right.
going to be very busy.
That's right, man.
Beauty sleep.
All right.
Exactly.
So we're going to have some folks come in and talk about the March for Science coming up after this.
Ben Tulchin, Bernie Sanders' pollster, and the head of Tulchin Research will join us on this week's Heartland Labor Forum to discuss whether millennials who voted progressive in 2016 will continue to do so as they get older. Then, it's the little city that could. What happened when Richmond, California took on Chevron in a battle for control of the city? We'll talk to author Steve Early about his book, Refinery Town, Big Oil, Big Money, and the Remaking of an American City. Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday, 5 a.m.
Every day we tell you about violence.
Here in our city and across the country.
Today we stand together.
No to violence.
We say no to bullying.
We are young and old.
Black. White.
Multicultural.
We are one.
We are united.
Because in Kansas City,
we don't accept violence.
Not here, not now.
Not ever.
Today we start a movement.
Together we are Kind KC.
Brought to you by Channel 41 and KKFI.
Improving water quality and herd health on this current cast.
Manure and fertilizer runoff from farms is a significant source of water pollution, and that runoff can harm the health of the herd.
Water that's flowing in the stream can be a way for disease and parasites to move from one farm to another.
That's Lamont Garber of the Stroud Water Research Center. He says cover crops that prevent erosion, better manure storage, and trees between animals and water reduce the pollution and the health risk to a farmer's herd. But Garber says the real payoff for the farmer comes when
their kids can walk down to the stream and pull out a trout.
And that may be the most tangible evidence of all that the improvements are working. Current Cast is produced in partnership with Cornell's Atkinson Center for a Sustainable Future. Learn more online at currentcast.org.
Okay, this is Craig Lubo, and thank you for staying with us. To this segment, we have two guests. We're going to be talking about the March for Science, which is coming up this Saturday. We have Kenneth Lee. He has a PhD in research in environments from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. And we have... Jesse, and would you pronounce your last name?
Absolutely. Jesse Blake-Burrell.
All right. She's a virtual college advisor for low-income, underrepresented students across the country, and she is a freelance journalist in Kansas City area. And She's been in England, Japan, and South Korea.
Yep, and Scotland.
In Scotland, okay. So welcome to the show. So let me have you, Jesse, if you want to tell us, what is the March of Science?
Thank you. Absolutely. First of all, thanks for letting us be here. We're really excited to get this opportunity to talk more about our march. We represent the Kansas City chapter of the national movement that is the March for Science. And what we stand for is, a lot of different ideals, but mainly they support the free dissemination of knowledge. We want science to be accessible to everyone, and we are currently protesting the current administration's policies with regard to science, in removing data from government websites and silencing scientists. What we stand for are a bunch of diverse, nonpartisan people. We have speakers coming in from both sides of the aisle, but we don't represent either side of the aisle. What we represent are facts and rational thought and thinking things through, questioning, hypothesizing, and we're hoping to bring that all together at our event this Saturday with some great speakers coming in.
All right, and where is that going to be located?
Oh, it's going to be at Washington Square Park this Saturday. We're going to be marching in at 9:30. The speaking starts at 10, and we'll go from 10 to 2.
All right, and you mentioned concern about getting information out, science and stuff, and I think I heard something new about Trump issuing some kind of new executive order banning agencies from publishing their scientific research. Have you heard about that?
I have. That's actually several months ago when the first gag order went out on the EPA. That's when I personally jumped into action on this movement. And that's when I met Kenny and our other administrator, Jennifer Pace. And the three of us kind of came together. I was an outsider. Kenny and Jen did know each other, but we all met virtually on Facebook, all organizing March for Science events, and we decided to collaborate. That's when we found our fourth administrator, Ian Shea Kahir. He's amazing. He's been helping us out. But we definitely all have a reason why we're marching. And for me, it was this gag order on the EPA, because I, as a journalist, have a very strong point of view when it comes to sharing information and censorship. And I believe firmly that scientific information and research should be available to the public, specifically if it is federally government-funded research. It's funded by the taxpayers. It should be available to the taxpayers.
Let me just jump in here real quick, because one of our fellow programmers, who's also a teacher, said the EPA was going to visit my classroom to help students to learn about water infrastructure and help design plans for runoff management, necessary understandings we should be cultivating in this generation. Then I get a call from their rep trying to sound diplomatic as they say that they are not able to make educational visits to classrooms anymore. Just wanted to throw that in there. Sorry.
Absolutely. And that is a concern, that they're not able to share their information. We've also witnessed that there's been information taken off of these government websites. The climate change website is gone. Kenny, I don't know, have you been following any of that as well?
My main concern is, in addition to the climate and the EPA, is that many of my friends and colleagues are professors, and their funding for their research is also being cut. And we're not just talking about the hard sciences like biology, physics, chemistry. We're also talking about the social science, some things that are sometimes forgotten, that our social scientists are also being affected by the changes made by this administration. And to address the point about the EPA and coming into the classroom, I had spent a long time, 20 years in the lab, and now I'm transitioning into the classroom, and that's kind of a scary thought, that our students, which is why I march, are not having the ability to have agencies like the EPA, people who can inform them about what the future holds for them moving forward.
Do you think that part of the reason that he's putting the gag order then is because they're just eliminating a lot of the scientific research that the government has done?
Well, I think that when you want to take away from one side, it's the easiest way to do that is to remove the evidence of science that we have provided through, but what they're doing right now is taking away from the people. It's taking away from our country, and it's ultimately to our detriment to remove this knowledge, to remove this information, and to step away from facts and peer review. What we need is to look at the world through the eyes of the scientific method. We need to be able to examine it and question it and replicate it. And I think that what we need, and one of the reasons behind this march, is to encourage our policymakers and the people in power to support scientific-based policies, scientific facts that point us in the direction of what is the reality for our future, that we've learned from our mistakes in the past. And it's really important that we need to look at that information.
Yeah, this will only affect the publication and stuff. Only affects studies that are being funded by the government. Is that right? I mean, President Trump can't really stop independent organizations from publishing theirs.
That is right. The private funders, different nonprofits who are able to provide money for research, he can't regulate that. He can regulate topics that are being published on. In the past, we've had regulations on stem cell use. Regardless of where the money came from, they were regulated. We don't know what's coming next. We don't know what type of work will be censored in the future. I think part of the problem is it's easier to sort of cover your eyes with things like climate change, with things like energy issues like Eco Elvis was talking about. It's easier to pretend that there's nothing happening than there is to figure out what is happening and why it's happening.
And your concern goes beyond this climate, though.
That is
you
correct.
Talk about much broader scientific research.
That's right. Our colleagues are running a climate change march on April 29th. Ours is looking much broader. It's because it's in the news so much, climate change comes up a lot. But yes, our research into cancer and diseases, other diseases, HIV, drug addiction, all those things are being affected. In fact, in the days following the inauguration, many of these websites or links on the White House page disappeared. The Office for Drug Addiction, the EPA was limited and cut many of their pages on their website. So yes, we're much broader than the climate change, but by the same token, our work is being covered up in the same way. Like I said, it's easier just to pretend that these things aren't happening than to do something about it.
And I know we've kind of focused on the environmental research, but do you expect his policies to affect just like the pure health research, like FDA, for instance, or the Department of Ag on health issues?
Well, our March for Science, we actually have some amazing speakers from the medical community coming in and talking on our behalf. Specifically, Roy Jensen is going to be opening up the speaking portion of our march on Saturday at 10 a.m. He's the director of the KU Cancer Center. We also have Kenneth Peterson, who is the center, and you're going to have to help me out here, Mr. PhD.
He's the director for the Center of Epigenetics and Stem Cell Biology at KU Med as well.
Yeah, so Kenny and I don't necessarily know what's happening in that field. We do, and we have reached out to speakers who are prominent in these areas, and we're hoping to hear more from them at the march itself.
And for the listeners who might not know this, what is epigenetics?
So, we talk about genetics. And genetics are the base pairs, the things that make up our are our DNA. So those can change, and they change our traits, and they change our changes in our DNA can cause changes in our cells, cause mutations, cause cancer. When the field of epigenetics was developed and founded, was that we found that it's not just changes in your DNA that can cause these diseases down the road. We found that there are non-genetic reasons for getting cancer. And what you find is that these changes get passed from generation to generation, but they're passed without changes to your actual DNA. That's why we call it epigenetics, above genetics. That's that field, and it is a very exploding field in genetics, because we're finding that the changes that are occurring are not just in the genes, they're in what regulates the genes for being turned on and turned off.
And I noticed that one of your speakers is Representative Senator Barbara Bollier, state senator from Kansas. So do you have, is there good bipartisan support for the movement to keep scientific research in the public eye?
Very proud to say that we've been able to reach out to members of both parties. We wanted to give everyone an opportunity to share their views on science and why it matters, because we firmly believe it is a nonpartisan issue. Science affects everyone. Whether you believe in it or not, it's real. And it touches every part of our lives. That's what this march is really about. It's about the accessibility of science. It's about the availability of science. And we're hoping to put that through to everyone with some of our impressive speakers and with the interactive booths that we're going to be having set up around the park. These are going to be a kids zone, so kids can kind of interact with science in their own ways. And then also some interactive activities for adults as well. We also believe that it's very important for us to become involved, which is why there will be a voter registration booth there. And that's not pushing anyone to register for one party or the other. It's just to register, because now is the time to be active. Our words matter and our actions matter, and we need to step up. As Kansas Cityans, we need to gather together.
Okay. I saw a paragraph on the, not sure if it was Facebook page or what, about humanizing science. So let me, if one of you wants to read this. It seemed pretty good, I think is a good way of stating it.
Okay. Okay, so this was taken from our event Facebook page, where most of the information that we are putting out there is. This humanizing science states, science is first and foremost a human process. It is conducted, applied, and supported by a diverse body of people. Scientific inquiry is not an abstract process that happens independent of culture and community. It is an enterprise carried out by people who seek to expand our knowledge of the world in the hope of building a better, more informed society. Our wealth of personal experiences and perspectives is our greatest strength. In putting the people who do science at the forefront of this discussion, we can show that scientists come from all cultural backgrounds, belief systems, orientations, genders, and abilities.
Is your feeling, in terms of why this is happening now, are we looking at a situation where people, it's just all about economics that's driving the science research now? Or is it a problem with education, their ignorance? Or what do you think is the basis for it?
I think there are a lot of issues that have come across all the fields. I think you've kind of touched on them there. There's definitely a lack of education. There's also a lack of interest. It's difficult to get funding for a variety of areas in scientific research itself, in social science, in studying drug abuse. We definitely need to be delving more into that. Maybe Kenny can dip a little more into that area, but we definitely think that there's a gap, and there's fear that fills that gap. Fear of the unknown, a fear of the challenge of trying to figure out the solutions that we need to solve the problems that we face as not just Americans, but as citizens of this planet. we need to take action. And to take action means you have to acknowledge the problem, which is something I think we're seeing in the current administration. There's a lack of, assessing the problem in a realistic point of view, I believe.
Yeah, I think part of our society is we want immediate returns. Science does not provide immediate returns. So a lot of times the citizens do not understand or are not informed of this. And I think part of it, our government is, and I mean, this is not just our current administration, we haven't done a good job of, as I just read, humanizing science. I think that sometimes it's difficult for people to understand that scientists are just regular people. And one of my hopes is that we come together on the 22nd and we're able to show people we're just people. We want things to change. We want things better for everybody. And that we are just other citizens out there trying to make our country, our world better.
And I know information says there's 100 or more other marches occurring. And those are going to be on the same day, or?
That's right. So we are the official Kansas City chapter. We're the official Kansas City March for Science that we've been coordinating with the D.C. National Chapter. We're all approaching this march in a different way. There are various cities that are focusing more on the marching aspect. For us in Kansas City, we are focusing more on the conversation and the dialogue. So we are going to be holed up, like we've said before, at Washington Square Park. The speaking starts from 10 to 2. And one thing that we're very excited about to be doing, and I think this is also another way to humanize our perspective of science, is that we're going to be calling up people that are attending our march, asking them to come to the stage and announcing to everyone there why they march, why they've chosen to take their time on Earth Day on Saturday and come be with us, what matters to them and why. And that's really important to us because this movement is all about making our voices heard, that we are speaking on behalf of science, that we're advocating for it, that we want to have scientific information used when making policy decisions. And we also want to hear from the local citizens of Kansas City and how that affects them. So that is something, if you're interested in that, be sure to take a picture of yourself with a sign that says "Why I March" and email it to us or post it on our Facebook page. And you might be selected to jump up on stage with us and share your reason with Kansas City and hopefully with the rest of America and the world.
If I can just butt in 1 second. On top of that, we want to continue this conversation. One thing that we've been able to put together is we're going to continue our dialogue on science after the march. We're all going to get everyone to gather at another location called the Beer Station on 70th and Gregory, and we want to get everyone there to continue talking about this so we can gather more ideas, bring more thoughts to our government officials. It's going to be, again, another kid-friendly event. We're just trying to get everyone out there just to keep our conversation going, have it continue on to our climate march a week later. We just need to gather momentum. We're building on the women's march. Now we're moving further and building on our science march. And who knows what comes next? People are motivated. We need more of this, and I think it'll continue on from our science march.
And you get to do this even if it's raining, correct?
Absolutely. Okay. Rain or shine, science goes on. We'll actually be in science, if you will, enjoying the precipitation and the participation of our supporters.
We just have a few seconds left, so I want to make sure you have a chance to give us how people find information, how they get to your Facebook page.
Absolutely. Hop on Facebook. We are under the March for Science Kansas City. You'll find us there. There's also going to be an event where you can select to tell us that you're going to be going to the march. Those are our two separate things. One is our page for our supporters where you can find a lot of discussion, great discussion that's been happening there. And then again, the actual event itself, which is separate from the group.
Okay. So I want to thank you for joining us. And you've been listening to Jesse and say your last name.
Blakeborough.
Okay, and Kenneth Lee talking about the March for Science, which is this Saturday, April 22nd on Earth Day at Washington Park, which is across the street from Crown Center and from Union Station there. It's kind of behind the Blue Cross building. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Oil and gas extraction releases ozone and methane. So when a fracking boom started near Dallas, Texas, air pollution there got worse. Elita Temez lives in Denton, where the problem is especially bad.
During the hottest part of the summers, you really can't go outside and breathe very easily, especially if you're young and also if your health is compromised like mine.
Temez has cancer, but it has not stopped her from getting involved. 2 years ago, the state legislature reversed a city ban on fracking in Denton, so she went out to the fracking site to protest.
There came a big truck, and I just decided that I needed to do something, so I stepped in front of the truck and blocked its way, and then other people joined me. So we were arrested that day, but it was one of the nicest days of my life because it showed me that, yes, little people can still have a big effect.
The protest helped draw attention to the issue, but the fracking in Denton did not stop until oil and gas prices dropped. So Temez has continued to push for clean energy.
Even an old fat fart like me with cancer can get up off the couch and make a difference.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
Hey, everybody. This is Natural E again with a couple of upcoming events for you. And guess what? They're all taking place. Well, not all of them, but most of them will be taking place on Saturday, April 22nd, which is Earth Day. If you're going to be in Lawrence from 1 to 4 p.m., you can go to Sunrise Project's annual plant sale. And they're also having that plant sale again if you miss that because you're going to one of these other events. Sunrise Project has another plant sale on Saturday, May 6th, both at 1 to 4 p.m. at 1501 Leonard Avenue. If you check out bridgingthegap.org, you will see opportunities to volunteer your time planting trees in an oak and Hyde Park neighborhood or also doing a stream cleanup. So check out that website. And again, the Kansas City March for Science is Saturday, April 22nd, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. down at Washington Square Park, just like our guests spoke about. And then the following Saturday, the 29th, from 1 to 3 p.m., is the Kansas City the People's Climate March at the same park, Washington Square Park. And Mike, you got any other events? That's all I got.
No, that'll do it.
All right.
So we're going to go out with This Week in Water.
And sea level rise plagued paradise. That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report about water. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
California officials are expected to establish limits on a chemical pollutant that has been found in many water systems.
About 28 years ago, the California Water Resources Control Board detected the contaminant known as TCP in drinking water systems. But neither the EPA nor the state set a limit on how much of the chemical could be in tap water.
TCP was used as a paint remover and a degreasing agent, and was also an ingredient in pesticides made by Dow and Shell that were widely used more than 30 years ago.
TCP is a carcinogen that doesn't break down in soil and can instead migrate into water.
The Environmental Working Group released a report last week showing that the state has detected TCP at higher than the expected limits in more than 90 California public water systems, primarily in the San Joaquin Valley, which supplies much of the U.S. with nuts and vegetables.
The environmental group claims that TCP should have never been in pesticides in the first place because it had no role in killing the pests it was intended to control. In lawsuits filed by communities in the San Joaquin Valley, documents obtained show the companies left the chemicals and pesticides to avoid the costs of proper disposal.
In effect, the companies were using farmers to get rid of toxic chemicals, according to a spokesperson for the environmental organization.
Shell and Dow have paid multi-million dollar settlements to some communities for water filtration systems, but dozens of cases are still pending.
A French company has made a train that looks just like a typical one running on diesel, but instead of running on dirty fuels, it uses hydrogen and is pollution-free. Last month, it was successfully tested in Germany.
Fuel cells on top of the train combine hydrogen and oxygen, generating electricity, which is stored in lithium-ion batteries.
The only emissions from the train are steam and water, making it much more environmentally friendly.
The train's project manager told CNN Tech that the steam is so clean, you can breathe it in.
The Germans are impressed enough by the test runs that they have ordered 60 trains from the French firm.
Each two-car train requires a 200-pound tank of hydrogen and can travel up to 500 miles a day at nearly 90 miles an hour.
And another benefit? The train is nearly noiseless, but for the sound of the wheels and rushing air.
Two reports from the Aloha State this week. More than 3,000 cesspools have been closed in Hawaii since 2005, but as of last year, there were nearly 90,000 in the state.
Cesspools collect and discharge untreated raw sewage into the ground, allowing pathogens and harmful chemicals to pollute groundwater, streams, and even the ocean.
They are more widely used in Hawaii than in any other state, according to the EPA. But one operator that was supposed to close its cesspools a long time ago and did not? The U.S. Navy.
Recently, the Navy agreed with the EPA to close three large-capacity cesspools on Oahu. The service had closed six others. The Navy will pay a fine of almost $100,000.
Groundwater supplies 99% of all domestic water in Hawaii, and it may be threatened by an additional problem, rising levels caused by climate change.
As sea levels rise, the potential exists for urban areas to flood by water coming up from below the ground.
A computer model developed by researchers at the University of Hawaii at Manoa shows that real estate, roads, and tourist attractions could be severely affected.
And because the water will rise from the ground, no seawalls will protect Honolulu or Waikiki.
The study found that levels in some places are already 2 feet below the ground at high tide, and researchers confirmed that almost 90% of the cesspools being used are likely already inundated. Much attention was focused last week on the development of a new device that can pull water vapor out of thin air.
Researchers at MIT, using materials created at the University of California, Berkeley, have developed a water harvester that can produce H2O out of the air in even arid climates.
In testing over a 12-hour period, the solar-powered device was able to produce about 3 quarts of water on an MIT rooftop.
To put it simply, the appliance pulls water vapor out of the air at night and turns it into liquid during the day.
The scientists working on the project say that homes, even in the driest parts of the world, may soon have the devices which could help billions of people.
The technology developed by UC Berkeley has other possible uses, including the potential to remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere.
And finally, it's the Buddhist New Year, and in Thailand, it's a time when people head out of cities to see friends and family and practice a host of solemn traditions.
Rituals like cleaning images of the Buddha, washing the hands and feet of elders, offering food to monks, gestures meant to symbolize purification ahead of the new year.
The holiday also includes the sweet gesture of sprinkling water on loved ones to send wishes for a year filled with blessings and, if needed, to wash away sins and evil energy.
But these days in Thailand, that gentle splash has turned into an all-out dousing. Residents arm themselves with water guns and buckets to participate in what's now called the world's biggest water fight.
Rowdy revelers flood the streets to drench each other in a party that goes on for days.
Some even make the pilgrimage to Thailand's old capital city, Ayutthaya, where they can have the privilege of being sprayed with water by trained elephants for a jumbo-sized portion of good luck.
The New Year holiday happens during Thailand's hot and dry season, so welcomed by many as relief from sweltering heat. But that doesn't mean the country's military government isn't sweating it.
Since taking power in a 2014 coup, they've tried to restore what they see as traditional Thai values that have been corrupted by outside Western influences. They've instituted bans on skimpy clothing and restrictions on alcohol.
By all accounts, images of thousands dressed in floral shirts, or less, enjoying street parties means the government's attempt to pour cold water on festivities is getting drowned out by people focused on fun. This Week in Water is supported by the American Water Works Association. Build a better world through better water at AWWA's ACE 17 in Philadelphia, June 11th through 14th. Learn more at awwa.org/ACE17.